started going down department stores, literally looking at who are all the brands that they carry and how many of those brands are designers of color, and realized that less than 1% at the time were designers of color. And I was like, okay, this is it. I have to at least try to be a part of the solution.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to You Have to Wear Something. It's the podcast that explores those wardrobe decisions we make every day and educates, empowers, and entertains culturally through fashion history, business, and style. I am still your host, Nicole Briggs, a creative bridge builder with a mission to elevate marginalized voices and individuals, and the owner of Shop GU, J-I-Y-U. It still means freedom, and we all like a little freedom, right? So today is another special day. It's been a while since I've had a guest, so I'm very hype about it. We have really the extended family, if I'm being honest, from Chicago. If you don't know, I record from Los Angeles. I'm going on my 13th year here. Probably September 8th. I cannot believe I drove cross country 13 years ago to this lovely city. Y'all said I wouldn't last 6 months. I have been here 13 years. So you're wrong. And similarly, this wonderful woman has recently come, but time flies when you're having fun. Please welcome to the show, Latasha Ford. She is an entertainment journalist and associate editor. And we're going to talk about all the woo, all the good, the highs, the lows, the neutrals, all of it. Welcome to the show, Tasha.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I am here.
You are here.
I am here. I am here in the flesh, honey.
You are a tough woman to catch up with.
Please, Nikki, do not start.
You know I'm going to drag you. Just a touch.
Oh, please don't drag me. I'm here today.
Because I love her more than anything, than dragging her. We are going to welcome her and we're going to celebrate her. And how you feeling?
I'm blessed. Okay. I feel amazing. I feel lightweight, a little bit overwhelmed, but we will not get into that. But I feel good. I feel good. I'm in a good space. My spirit is healthy, is lifted, and I'm here.
I'm so glad you're here. And you look good, because we are going to talk about looks a little bit today, because we have to, because you have to wear something.
Thank you, Mama.
Go naked. You will get arrested.
Now, you know I will go naked.
Yeah.
You know I'm good. Listen.
I know. We still can wear the sheer.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not the normals. We can wear the sheer.
Absolutely.
You can't see her, but she is in a little bit of Barbie core today. She's got on a beautiful satin silk V-neck wrap dress with all kinds of different fonts on it, all different shades of pink and a few other colors. She's got on gold hoops because that's the standard for women like us. She's got her beautiful lashes on today. So Tasha is looking good today.
And can we also mention that this dress kind of make me look like I have hips a little bit?
What do you mean you don't have any hips? We all have
Nikki,
hips.
Nikki, I do not have... I don't think we all have hips.
You
I definitely
hips.
Think I'm straight up and down, for sure. I'm confident in that.
But yes,
Nikki,
yes.
I do not have a bump on the side.
I only have one bump, and it's in the back.
And there's a man in a bump in the back, too.
The bump in the back is all that matters. Not all of us need to look like a sofa.
This
you look good.
True.
You
facts.
Look great.
Facts.
You look great. We like you straight up. We like you straight down. No worries there. And you wouldn't have given birth to that wonderful straight up and down athlete of yours.
My baby.
We need him to be a little string bean, see?
I know.
You put your lack of hips to good work there, didn't you?
Yes, I did. My baby that's going back off to college tomorrow, literally in the next couple of hours, starting his junior year.
Yes.
At Berry University, so
and
yes.
He's also very fashionable, too. We're not
honey, listen.
We're not going to get into Shane right now.
Yeah,
but
that's
Shane,
a whole nother conversation. Like, seriously, he dresses me sometimes.
I know. That's going to be a combo interview for the future, but we're gonna focus on little mama today and her journey to LA. How is LA treating you?
Ooh, LA is treating me very, very, very well. I absolutely love it here. I have definitely learned to be patient with myself throughout this process, to take things one day at a time, because there are moments that things can seem and feel a little overwhelming just because everything is new. The energy here is totally different from back home in Chicago.
Very different.
It is so different. Mm.
Don't you find it to be slower, a little bit more chill?
It's definitely more chill. It's slower.
But like not slow for industry, because the industry is up.
The industry is popping.
Yes.
The industry is definitely popping. It's on another level, which is totally different.
The way people talk, the way they move, the way they navigate through the city.
Yeah.
It has a forever vacay vibe. Wouldn't you say?
I definitely think LA is just, it's just what you said. It is a vibe. It's very calm.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like people move around a little bit more gracefully. I definitely think there is slightly a lack of authenticity with the individuals. That has been my experience so far. But, you know, in whole, like, I love it here. It's a vibe.
Yeah, it is. I would say, because people aren't stacked up on top of each other like New York, it takes a little while to find your people, and it takes a little while to, it just takes more time because everything is moving a little slower socially, I would say, and meeting people. So like, I really didn't get like a core set of friends until maybe like a good 4 or 5 years.
Damn, Nikki, and 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, you already know that I've known this woman a long time when she said Nikki. That is like my old school nickname. That is so cute and I love it. But only you, that's like a hall pass. Only you can
listen,
say that.
I will accept the pass.
Okay. Now,
4 or 5 years, Nikki?
Listen, it takes a little while because you gotta flow through maybe some coworkers that you thought you were your friends, or et cetera, et cetera. I want to talk about this manifestation, you getting here, what you wanted to do for so long. Share whatever you can with the listeners, the youngins, the people thinking about that. You can't just wake up one day and be like, I want to move to LA or I want to move to New York. You have to have some core plans in place, and you have to talk about that patience and persistence, because I know something was you were pursuing for a while and you made it happen. So
yeah,
talk about that little bit of journey as much as you can, just so people can, you know, when we give these chats, we're being like little micro mentors here.
This is true.
And people need to learn. And you don't just get up and one day come here and like hope it all works out. You also have to like do things, you know.
Yeah.
You say your prayers. Obviously, stay blessed, stay prayerful, stay a manifester. But also, you have to do things.
You so have to put in the work.
You have to put in the work. So
faith without works is dead. I am definitely and have always been a dreamer. I think one of the biggest disappointments in life is to stop chasing your dreams. LA was definitely a manifestation. Years and years, more than 10, 12 years, actually, maybe 13 of prayer, fasting, being very focused, being extremely intentional, and facing a tremendous amount of rejections. I do not think that I work in the entertainment industry, media and entertainment. Initially started off working in radio back home in Chicago, my old home. LA is my new home now, obviously. Wow, I always knew that the entertainment industry and media as a core was a passion of mine. I just love the pace of things, the challenge, not knowing what's going to be thrown at you, you know, day in and day out, and just being all over the place, right?
Because it's not for everyone. Like, it's a zig and a zag, and you have to be able to rise to the occasion and like change course and deal with a lot of obviously big personalities. But
yeah,
how did you know it was like, well, I can do this?
Because I was very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it in my spirit. I felt that working in the radio industry, I was definitely in a space that God had for me to be in. And it's so loaded. It's so loaded. I just kind of want to pivot back to the rejection.
Let's talk about that because the failure is never really a failure. It's like a not now. Like yeah. There's no losing. It's only learning. So tell me about. Give us a little example of rejection.
I love that you mentioned failure because I do not personally feel like there is a such thing as failing in life. I feel like there is always something to learn from. I feel like what most consider to be failures, those are life lessons. And the wise learn from it, pivot, and do things differently to, you know, warrant different outcomes in their life. Working in radio, long story short, sometimes I feel like we can allow our ego and our pride to get in our way. I worked at Clear Channel Communication, which is now known as iHeartMedia.
Okay.
And I started off at the very, very bottom of the totem pole during my undergrad years at DePaul University in Chicago. And I've always been a very, very confident individual. And long story short, it was taking forever. It felt like forever for me to move up that corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. You know, I started off as an events intern. I worked as a receptionist, administrative assistant, and I felt like I'm educated. You know, I've already come to the door with experience. Although it wasn't in the entertainment industry, I was an experienced professional.
Yes.
And I continuously applied for higher positions at iHeart and literally would get the interviews and not get the job. You know, and after 5.5 years of going through that, one Friday, actually December 10th, I will never forget, I quit. Mm-hmm. I quit. I walked out of my job.
Cold turkey, like nothing really in line.
I walked out and I'm just like, you know what? I am too damn good for this. I've interviewed for every position that this company has to offer at that time in the Chicago market, and they're not hiring me. You know, so I felt horrible and I felt like I was bigger and better than the space that I was in at that time, which in hindsight, 2020 was the space that God had for me to be in. I quit on a Friday, and when I tell you it took me almost 13 years to land my feet back in the media and entertainment industry, it took me just that long. And okay, I'm here so now.
You are. Let's pause for a second because I know what that's like. Similarly, went to school for journalism and communications. I was in the PR department of the Symphony Orchestra. I did a lot of like magazine interns. I even interned out here for Malibu Magazine. And my goal was to really do like fashion journalism, which was the purpose of the existence of this podcast, so that I can speak my truth through the lens of a Black woman, right?
Yeah.
And so let's go back to Clear Channel. I want to hear a little bit about the environment because 5 years of kind of hearing no, and you also showing up probably to do the best job you can. Like, you know what? I'm just going to keep showing up and being me. I know you. I know that you weren't retaliating, right, against yeah. people at Clear Channel for not promoting you. Because listen, you probably had a little one. Like, we have other things going on, other responsibilities and priorities. Controversial question is, what does like race and gender play into that? Like, and you can just speak on it. Like, do you think any of that had anything to do with it? Or was it nepotism, people looking out for their friends or people looking out for their family? Like, what was the ultimate block?
You know what, Nikki? I actually really love that question. If I'm being very transparent, it was not race, it wasn't gender. Me being where I am now and going through the different phases and stages of my maturity, mm-hmm. professional-wise, I wasn't ready.
So you were in a space and it didn't serve you, but you were also not ready.
But here's the thing, when I was in that space, no one could tell me anything.
Okay.
I knew that I was ready.
Got it.
It was that ego.
Okay.
It was that pride.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, so looking back on all of those years and where I was 12, 13 years from where I am today,
mm-hmm.
I would have failed. I would have fumbled. Listen, it's 2023, fumbled the bag. I would have fumbled the positions.
Got it.
I wasn't ready.
Okay. You know, and that's again, a lesson because a very... I think a lot of people would take that as, yo, they didn't look out for me. They didn't give me what I deserved. Kind of a more entitled, you know, I've been here X amount of years. Being at a place a long time doesn't really entitle you, even if you're not ready.
Exactly.
And you have to be mature to look back and be introspective, right? And be like, yeah. I'm in the middle of this evolution. I ain't there yet.
Yep.
So then you walk out of there.
Ooh, and boy, I walked out. And that Friday that I walked out, I started a new job that following Monday in the damn healthcare industry.
Right.
Which was mind-blowing to me. Mm-hmm. I just remember, I would never forget the day that I walked into that particular job in that company. And I'm like, what in the hell did I just do with my life? Where am I?
Oh, we've been there. I think we've all had a little moment like, this is a bridge. This is a bridge.
Girl,
this is
not. I felt like life was over
at the time.
Like it was a wrap. I'm like, I have just ruined my life. I will never bounce back from this. And I actually ended up working in the healthcare industry for 6 years.
Yeah, and that's not a short sentence.
But let me tell you something. The entire time that I worked there, I always kept chasing my dream.
And how did you keep chasing it?
I kept applying for jobs. I applied for every single, not every position, but every marketing, public relations, communications, advertising, event planning position at every single media company and sports team in the Chicago market, from the Chicago Bulls, from the Chicago mm-hmm. Bears, the Cubs, the White Sox. Every
and you
radio
like sports,
station.
Right?
Girl, I'm obsessed with sports.
She loves it because I tolerate sports. I have three brothers. You already know, like, with a dad and three brothers, I'm outvoted. I'm the mm-hmm. only girl. I have to tolerate. But as soon as I got up out of the bear country,
girl,
the Bears, the Bulls, the Bears, I was like, I can take a break.
Yes, yes.
But you really, really love it. And you raised an athlete.
Yeah.
And you just kept applying even over that 6 years.
Oh, more than 6 years.
Right.
Like, again, up until when I am where I am today. And again, I wanted to pivot back to the rejection aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, receiving those rejection emails or landing those interviews in which I did land at all of those companies in Chicago, you name a television station, you name a radio station, you name a sports team, I interviewed there.
Not you, you know. Also applied to Channel 11.
Girl, listen.
WTTW.
WTTW, honey. Listen, PBS. Hello.
I know, right? Even she applied to government-funded public channels.
In real life. And can
the government. You were ready to work for the government.
No. They told me no.
And I will say, to our audience, that DePaul is not some jump change diploma. DePaul is a...
one of the most prestigious universities in the entire world.
One of the most prestigious in the world, in the Midwest, in Chicago. DePaul means something, especially
absolutely.
In that city. So it wasn't...
especially when you're the only person of color in majority of all your classes.
Of course. Hey, my brother is a DePaul grad, and
sure
we
is.
Worked with a ton of, obviously, through my career, I've worked with a ton of people out of DePaul. So it's mm-hmm. a big deal. So it wasn't
yes.
like... you know what I mean? You know, they can't really trip on the diploma. So you had the degree. You did your time at Clear Channel. You had to take a break to do what you had to do. And you
yes.
kept applying. How, tell people what it, a lot of people, I know a lot of people who are actually with this funky economy who have lost a job, who may have been in there a long time, who are making it, who feel... like, yo, I interviewed with them 6-7 times. They gave me an assessment test, and I did not get it. Now it's a very different market. You can interview. It used to be interview 3 times, they make a decision. Now it's like 6, 7, 8, 10.
Yeah,
they give
you
a test.
They want writing samples. They want portfolios.
Yup, they want a portfolio. They want to see all of your socials. Remember, that
it's
used to be
insanity.
It used to be a bad thing to have a Facebook or Instagram. Now you have to have a TikTok and all
yeah,
of that. They
so
want
to.
It's really, really goofy.
I hate it.
They need a video bio. And so what is the thing that you never got frustrated, or did you, or you just like set it aside, like you were able to like swallow it do something with it? Do you give your day? Do you do a Beyonce? Give your day a day to feel crappy about it, 24 hours, and the next day you back at it? Like, what is your resilient kind of practice?
I definitely want to say I went through a lot of frustrating and stressful seasons mm-hmm. of my life. But I just think that, I know that when you're passionate about something and you truly, truly feel it, like something in you does not allow you to give it up mm-hmm. or to stop chasing it. And that okay. was always my thing. It did not matter what company I was working for, what that salary looked like, so on and so forth, like what the position was. I always knew that that wasn't my end all be all. Mm-hmm. God does not have for me to stay here.
Yes.
You know, and pivoting back again to the rejection aspect of things. And I like to focus on that because I understand personally and firsthand how daunting it can be to continue to have doors slammed in your face and to receive no's and to just like throw in the towel and get to the place where you feel like, well, maybe I'm tripping. Maybe it's not meant for me to do that thing. But and you just give up. You literally cannot do that. Like,
yeah, sometimes you even now, recruiters, headhunters, they ghost you. Yeah. You get ghosted. That's a big thing too. Not I did like multiple interviews, took a test, sent you all my stuff, did everything right, only to get ghosted. And that's a big, and it's unprofessional. Mm-hmm. I'm even hearing now a new trend, and this is horrible, of people having offers rescinded. Mm. Like they've been offered a job, they accepted, they put in their 2 weeks, only to find out that they really don't even have a job. These companies are really buck wild. They're really like wilding.
And to that point, I feel like that is why it is so important to never put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. I've always been that type of individual. I prided myself, and I'm saying prided. Listen, I'm notorious for making up words.
You can make everyone. Up words. This Listen. Is my show, and I approve.
Listen, hey. I would make hey. Up a word in a split second.
Me too.
Myself, and not depending on one source of income, right? I feel like it's fine to have a 9-to-5, 8-to-4, 30, 7-to-3, 30. Mm-hmm. What so have it?
Yeah.
But I feel like it's very important to also put time and energy and focus into having your own entrepreneurship.
Right.
And
talk
I feel like
it.
That is the key to success.
I really like when people always say like sidepreneur or have a side hustle. All of it is a hustle. A 9-to-5 is also a hustle. I really like the way Marie Forleo will say, I am multi-passionate, because she does multiple mm-hmm. things. And you were multi-passionate, and you're also multi-skilled. Mm. People who can do multiple things are really like gems, right?
I agree with that.
They really are really something special, because you don't sink. You in a sink or swim situation, you're swimming. And you were swimming with whatever else you were doing along with the healthcare. And you kept applying and you kept doing the other things. And I also think too that being a mom, you're not gonna let anything get in the way of doing the best you can for your child.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that I think a lot of people say I want the best for my kids, or I do the best for my kids, is a difference in really truly showing up and actually doing it and being uncomfortable, you know, being uncomfortable and having to eat that, you know, swallow that pride while you're doing all of these other things still with the vision. Because a lot of people say, well, a lot of people do give up. They're like, well, I'm a mom. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
And
that's very true.
So talk to the moms real quick. Like, how do you fit in? How can you have eyes on the prize for a dream and also fit in being a mom and provide the best for your child?
Oh, that's a deep question. I think ultimately keeping my son at the forefront of my being.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that you have to be a sheer example. Like, listen, you can only instill so much into your kids. Like, that you, if you don't have it in you, like, how can you instill it in them? And if you don't have it in you, I do believe that you can take those steps and put like certain things and actions into place to make it your reality. Like, how can I preach to my son and reinforce to him how important it is to chase his dreams and to, you know, rest in a space that you are passionate in if I am not doing it, if I'm working at a grocery store? No shade to anyone, no parents out there. Listen, I've done it all. I literally have done it all.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, I know how to wait tables.
Like, legit. Like, I have done it all.
Like, I am not, you know, too proud to do anything. I think the regular worker is winning.
Period.
I think the working class is winning. A lot of people have to take a step back. Like, all success, most success is a zig and a zag. It's hills, it's valleys, it's mountains.
That's
so true. No straight line. All of it is nonlinear.
That, I love that you mentioned the zigzag. That takes me back to a time in Chicago when I was interviewing at Ebony Magazine with the SVP.
A big one.
Huge. Right?
Johnson Publishing.
Absolutely. Made on Michigan Avenue in Chicago.
Yeah, born. Hey, Johnson Publishing, born right in our city. We come from a really great city with really great businesses, particularly even black business. But go on. Mm-hmm. You were working for Ebony.
So I interviewed at Ebony.
Oh, got it.
And when I was interviewing with the SVP of PR and marketing at the time, she never once looked up at me. Like, she literally was asking me all of the questions, and she was just writing. She was just writing whatever it was. You know, I had my eyes locked in on her. At the end of all of her questions, she held a sheet of paper up at me. I will never forget this. And she said, Latasha, thank you so much, you know, for all mm-hmm. All that whole professional rigmarole. And she literally has sketched out my story in my life. And when I tell you, it was like a page full of like zigzag lines. Just like, okay, so you started off here, you ended up there, but you end up coming back around here, up there. Like, and I want to point that out because life is not always a straight line. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we get thrown off course.
It's rarely a straight line. I think it's like, if you've been coasting, something's coming.
It's some zigzags.
It's some stuff coming. And it could be a soft one. Sometimes it's a hard one. Sometimes, you know, I remember once, because I'm like, I tell, you know, we try to be the best we can in every situation. Listen, LA never gets any kind of snow or black ice or anything. So they give you those little soft tires when you lease here. Chicago, you would have weathered out everything.
Maybe.
So in LA, and I just remember, like, I had enough space for everything, and I slowed down, I hit the brake, and do you know that I just skated, I slid multiple car lengths into the back of these pretty young people, like a brother and a sister, and I just felt so irresponsible. Like that moment just had me, like, shook up, because I'm a great driver, and I got myself together, and I'm like... So even those little things can shake you up, like a car accident or something like that, right? Can kind of knock you off your square for a second, and you will get knocked off your square at some point. It could be gentle. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's but you got to kind of like keep.
It's how you bounce back.
You got to bounce back, you know. And
it's not always easy to bounce back. And I think that's why in those moments in life, it's so important to have a healthy circle around you, whether that's family, whether that is a best friend, a boo.
Yeah.
You know, all the things.
A good boo, not the bad kind.
Right, the healthy boo.
Yeah, if they're rooting for you, if your man is your number one fan, and if he's not, then he's not your man.
Hello.
you got to have your circle. Like, those...
To get back, sometimes you need your tribe to help get you back on track.
Of course,
remind you, encourage you, who you are.
Yeah, anyone that's like hating or like, yo, get a real job or stop. Anyone that's doing that stuff, like, you got to reevaluate, and that's okay. Some people are friends, some people are acquaintances.
Yes.
Right. Some
Associates,
people are family. Some
colleagues.
Some people are family. Some people are relatives. You already know. We
that
already
part.
Know. I want to circle back a little bit to LA. I think you've been here 2 years.
Ooh, almost 2 years, yes.
Tell me about the dream realized. What you were interviewing for, what happened there when that shift happened, because that we want to hear about that. Tell me what happened.
Oh, Lord, that's such a long story. So I will make a long story short.
Okay.
The company that I work for, PMC, Penske Media Corporation, I literally applied for positions with multiple brands for almost 8 years. That persistence. Right? Rejection. 8 years.
So your little 7 interviews that y'all complaining about, try 8 years. Do your time. Anyway, go on.
8 years. 8 years. And I finally received a email for a interview specifically for Rob Report. That's one of the brands under PMC.
It was
an associate editor role.
Got it.
So I got on the phone with Andy. Love you, Andy. You changed my life. You as well, Tom, forever. But I had the interview with Andy, and before we actually started the interview, you know, he said, Latasha, I know we're interviewing for the associate editor role with Rob Report. However, we have another brand that I personally feel like you would be an excellent fit for. It is a social media manager role and an associate editor role. Not sure if you heard of the brand before, but it's Go Derby. And I'm like, okay, I've not heard of the brand, but I know all the things social media. I'm a writer. I've written for 6 magazines at that point as a
you
freelance
had clips. She
editor.
Had clips. She
I had clips.
Clips,
honey.
Yes.
and he's like, how about I just interview you for both positions in one? And I'm like, let's do it. So we end up doing the interview. Later on that day, he gives me a call back and he's like, you know, I passed your information along to the hiring team, specifically with Gold Derby. They love you. We would like to move you along to the next step of the interviewing process. And I'm like, wow, that was quick. Quick. Let's do it.
Because when it's in alignment, it goes quick.
Okay.
So they love you, which why wouldn't they? But very, very different than trying to climb the ladder at Clear Channel.
Oh, girl.
Night and
so
day.
So much different. No shade, Clear Channel. Still
right,
love
right,
my
yeah,
radio folks.
Exactly. Exactly. We still love radio. But when it's for you, it's for
the
you.
Timing.
Right, that divine timing.
So I had the next interview 2 days later. That second part of the interview went excellent as well. After that, Andy called me again the next day and said, they loved you. We want to move you along to the next phase of the interviewing process, and it's with the editor-in-chief. It's his company. Go Derby is his company.
Got it.
Tom O'Neill. Tom, you know I'm absolutely obsessed with you. Thank you. Love you. Tom is everything. But anyways, so that interview is going to go a little different. Prior to getting on an interview with him, my job was to do my research and study, to analyze the website, come to him and basically give him a strategy. The interview lasted for almost two hours, a 30-minute interview. But something that's so important about this entire process, I literally had the exact same attire that I will wear on every interview, which was the cliche black, I love turtlenecks, black turtleneck or white collar shirt.
Yes, clean, conservative.
Right?
Yes.
So
unfortunately, you're judged by that.
You
have to wear something on the interview, and if you really don't know what their vibe is, the turtleneck and the white button down
is supposedly a win every time.
Clutch every time. Right. Okay.
So here's the thing with that.
Yes.
Before I jumped on that interview with Tom, I said, you know what? I'm gonna do something a little different. Because I've been receiving so many rejections and no's, I'm going to be myself.
Right.
I love turtlenecks, but I'm not a black turtleneck, white collar shirt person.
You're very colorful.
So I put on a hot pink sheer shirt.
Sheer.
And a bright yellow blazer, and I popped my collar with my pixie. pixie haircut that is.
Yes, yeah, she has a
and
pixie.
I say I'm going to be myself on this interview. And I jumped on that camera with Tom, and he absolutely loved me.
He saw you.
And I interviewed for a social media manager, associate editor role. Towards the end of that interview, Tom said, how do you feel about interviewing people? And I say, oh, I love talking to people, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, I'm talking about red carpet interviewing people.
Got it.
And I'm like, okay. I'm like, he's like, are you easily starstruck?
Right.
So I'm like, God, no. Yeah. Like, they're human just like me. I've worked in radio. Like, I've worked with Rick Ross. Like, at that point, like, Neo from working in the radio industry.
Correct.
I'm not starstruck at all.
Yes.
He's like, because I think I want you to be on a red carpet. So I'm like, mind you, it's a video interview. I'm trying not to lose my shit, y'all. For real, because I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
So anyway,
very real. We'll definitely see it on our faces.
Girl, listen.
You're like, fix your face.
Fix your face. So he's breaking all of this intel down for me. And I'm just like, it's a go for me. Like, I can do it. I don't feel like it's anything
go
that
for
I
it.
Can't do. I think
go
it's perfect for,
it. For
me.
Right.
So after that interview, he said, I have one more person I want you to meet with. And it was Scott Shieldstone. Love you, Scott. He worked for Deadline. That's
okay,
one of
yes.
the brands under PMC.
Yeah,
and it was
and
just a chill
that's
conversation.
That's a Hollywood industry Bible.
Yeah,
correct.
Deadline is Variety. Deadline. Like, it's what it is.
Correct.
So Scott and I jumped on a call the next day, and that was it. The following day, and the story is coming to an end, y'all.
We want the story. That's why you're
Andy
here.
Andy called me. No, so I got the email from Andy.
Okay.
And he said, expect a phone call from me.
Okay.
You know, the next day between these hours.
Got it.
So at this point, I was living on 14th and Michigan Avenue.
It's very cute.
Listen.
It's very cute right there.
Magnificent Mile in Chicago.
Mag Mile, we fool with it. If you don't know, Google. Hit your
Google. Google, yes. And I remember this day because he gave me a specific hourly time frame to expect his call. My son was at AAU basketball practice. And I was sitting outside on my deck, on my terrace, and I was waiting on a call.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't coming through.
Mm.
Holy Spirit. Because
I'm very spiritual,
guys. Something nudged me and said, go upstairs to your apartment. Go in the house.
Yes.
Because, like, the terrace was cracking. It was, like, summertime.
Yeah.
Cracking means it was popping. It was a lot of people outside,
y'all. Summertime shy is a real thing. I wish it on everyone.
Yeah. So I went upstairs. I gathered my things. I went upstairs. As soon as I closed my door to my apartment, my phone rang. And it was Andy. Andy said, hey, Latasha, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, good. He's like, okay, so how do you feel like the call went with Tom and Scott? I said, I feel like it went really good. I felt like it was more so of a conversation. He was like, okay, that's good to hear. He's like, they said the same thing.
Mm.
They love you. We love you. When are you moving to L.A.?
Nice.
And that was all, that was it. That was my job offer.
Oh,
when are you moving to LA? I said, I'll be there in 2 weeks. but it actually wasn't 2 weeks. It was a little over a month because I also was literally in a transition of taking my son off to college for the very first time.
A lot going on.
So I got my official job offer like that from PMC. Not even 3 weeks before it was time for me to take my son off to college. I took my baby off to college. I came back to Chicago, packed my apartment in 3 days, gave everything away. Absolutely everything away.
You don't even have time to like sell stuff because when I moved here, I knew that I was moving from, I think I entered 2010 because 2009 winter was terrible. I think I started 2010 like, by September, I want to be out of here. And I've like had so many jobs and it was stacking money. And I was like, I'm out of here before the next polar vortex. And so I had time to sell everything actually. And it added to my bag that I was building at the time.
Honey, when I came here, I did not have a bag.
It was a whirlwind for you.
I did not have a bag.
Yeah. You were like, you had to wrap it up quick. And you dropped off your kid and not as ambitious.
And I came back to Chicago 3-4 days, packed up my apartment, gave everything away, and moved to LA with 3 suitcases full of clothes and shoes.
But listen, you knew that it was going to work.
It was time.
It was time. You knew it was going to work.
And when I moved here, I didn't have a place to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally did not. I lived in a corporate apartment for 3 weeks.
And were you ever like, for a second, thought it was the bad decision?
Absolutely not.
Yep, because of the way it flowed.
Nope.
Because of the way it flowed.
I had no questions. I did not question God. I did not question the time. Being very, very honest, I did not have money, mm-hmm. like absolutely at all. Oh, and I will say this. Prior to getting a job with PMC, I actually took a leap of faith and I quit my job like 3-4 months.
Okay.
Beforehand. So at that time, I was literally like for months, I was unemployed.
I'm like,
I'm done with this. I cannot do this anymore.
But like, I quit my job. But like, you're leaving one thing, you leave space for the other thing to enter. Mm-hmm. And you know, we spiritual. You Libra?
Yes.
And I'm an Aquarius. So, you know, the air sign, we're very airy.
Yes.
And a lot of people think that we don't have a plan. We just move about it very differently.
Very strategically.
Very strategically and very faithful. We're using both. It's like we use East and West medicine. Like, I'm going to do the little snake oil, mm-hmm. little essential oils, but I'm also going to go to the doctor. Like, we're going to do both. And I understand who you are and how you move. And you already know that's why we get along so well.
Yes.
But you did that.
I did it.
You really did that.
God did it.
Yep.
God did it for me.
And so you start interviewing. Share your Instagram if you feel comfortable doing that. How can people find? Tell them.
Oh my God, I hate social media, Tom. You do not hear this. I love social media.
She loves it because that's what she does. That's what you got to give them to Obama. That's what I do.
Instagram is so
whack. That's what I do.
I just, you know, it's Latasha not. M4. Like, I'm not a social media person.
That's her Instagram. It's Latasha M4. You can see what she does. She's very good at it and evolving
all the time.
You do love people.
I love people.
And you are so natural with them. Talk about what is working as a red carpet journalist. What can be iffy? What kind of doesn't work? Because if people are thinking about getting into this, and like, what's next? What's next for you? What's the vision?
My own talk show. My vision is to have my own talk show. I desire to have 4, to be quite honest. That is the big vision.
The big vision is the talk show. And that's honestly the honest pathway for most people who are interviewing on the red carpet. They do, most of them end up either having a show or producing a show or, you know, or co-hosting a show in some form or fashion. So that is right on the money with that.
But, you know, to have my own talk show, I actually want my own wine. Actually, I love a really, really good quality sparkling rosé.
Right.
And I love whiskey. Mm. Oh, you know what? I'm going to stop right there because I cannot give y'all my secrets and my business plan. But I do desire to have not only my own talk show, but also my own wine, my own book. Actually, 2 books.
This would be a good book for anyone reading for inspiration and guidance on your story. It's the story that teaches, right?
Yeah.
What is it really like versus what people think it is? Ooh. The red carpet interviewing, like what
it
works
is
and what doesn't work, because I think people have a lot of glitz and glamour and they glamorize the work ethic and the aspect of it, because it's work.
I love that question. I think people see the fashion, they see the lights, camera, action, they see the celebrities, they see the stars, but you have unless you're in it, you have absolutely no idea how much work and research goes into it. Mm-hmm. Prior to the strike, I was blessed enough to, on a weekly basis, I got to the point where I was working 3, 4, 5 red carpets.
You were. I was watching.
You know, and it's a tremendous, it's a lot of work. You know, I watch TV for a living.
Okay.
I watch films. I watch, you know, series, comedy series, drama series, horror flicks, so on and so forth. Hates horror, but I do it.
But I am not.
I hate horror too.
Yeah, but I don't watch television to watch television. I study television. Mm-hmm. And you have to be prepared for anything when you step out on that carpet. You know, I have to watch the TV shows. I have to watch the movie. If it's an eight-part series that has, like, they're going on a third season, I need to take it from season one. I need to know their character name, first and last. I need to know their real name. I need to know, because I work in the awards space. Mm. I need to know their awards history. Has how many Oscars, Emmy Awards, NAACP
nominations,
BET Awards, yeah. Has Denzel Washington won,
right?
Viola, you know,
yeah, Davis,
Angela Bassett.
I saw that you got Angela Bassett.
You know,
yeah.
I need to know specific quotes, because on my Instagram, what you guys will likely see is that you only get about 2 to 3 minutes of that interview, but I'm talking to these stars like for 5, 7, 8 minutes. There is a list of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, studying the awards history, knowing their character, knowing prior projects that they're working on, doing the research to find out what's coming up next for Angela Bassett. When I'm asking Angela Bassett, are you working on any, you know, special projects that you can share with me today? Like, I have it written down because I've done my research.
You already know.
And not to mention, you have to memorize the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you will
see.
You can't
take a bunch of piece of papers and your phone out for every little thing.
Now, here's the thing with that part.
You will
typically notice a journalist or a reporter. We have index cards in our hand.
We have
a sheet of paper. You know, the face sheet. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, knowing who's coming up to you on the carpet before they step up to you. You need to know who's coming up to you. You know, you have to know what questions you're going to ask them. You have to memorize it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, like, no one's looking. Well, no, I can't say that no one's looking for perfection. You have to be perfect out there. There is no room or
Chris
space
Pine
to
and
drop
Chris Pratt
the ball.
Are two different people. There's a lot of Chris's out there.
And I have messed up names.
Yeah. And what is the feedback you get? Like, the person you report to, are they, like, are they upset about it, or are they like, it happens? Like, what,
like,
is,
if I mess up?
Yeah, if you mess up, do you get grace, or is it like your gig is on the line?
I think that's, well, I will say this. I've only messed up 2 times,
right,
fortunately.
Out of all of this, 2 years.
Yeah, definitely 2 times. And I think that's what personality comes in, that in your energy.
You know,
because there are celebrities that will get pissed off at you.
Right.
If you screw up their name, if you, you know, have, if you make a mistake pronouncing the project that they are working on,
mm-hmm,
you know, you can't say like black, it's Black Panther. You can't say Black Panther. You know, like, you have to be perfect.
Right.
That's just it. So, again, it's so much work that goes into it behind the scenes that people
even
are
like
just
pronouncing
completely,
names.
Girl, and when I tell you this mouth.
Because even pronouncing names, some people are like, Nicole, you're so good at pronouncing names. I'm like, I still, because you mess up.
I will tell you.
I write things phonetically when I do like my little one-offs of my research. I'll go to YouTube to try to learn, especially like designer names, like Amanda Lasagna. I'll try to pronounce them. I'm like, Luave, it's Luave, Luave. Like, I'm trying to, like, say it correctly, because that's a big thing. How are you going to be the expert? You're not saying names correctly.
Exactly. Mm,
research.
It'd be a lot going on with our mouths. Like, I literally, when I'm en route heading to events, I'm getting my mouth together.
Got it.
One thing I always do, I always make sure I have peppermints. I think that's so important.
Yeah, because you're blowing in people's face.
Yeah, you're literally in people's face, like, and you gotta
And
just
that's just a good practice in general. I even chewed a little bit of gum before you came here, because I was like, I'm not gonna be blowing in this girl's face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. What do you think we know the vision, and we know that you're killing it. What was like a piece of feedback, like what helped you like sharpen your routine of interviewing on the red carpet? What was that like piece of feedback you were like, I got it, that was so good that I learned that, biggest lesson?
I think the best, the most honest way I can answer that is me looking back at my own clips and videos.
Okay, so then you earlier go back and you study your clips.
Yeah, I personally go back and study my clips. Tom loves my personality, my mm-hmm. energy. Like, you're out there, you're doing a damn thing. But there is always room for improvement. So I study my work. I go home. After I leave the red carpet, like, if I'm in a premiere, like, not saying every journalist does this. This is just something Natasha does. I put my AirPods in and I listen to my interviews.
Got it.
Before I get to that reception or the after party.
Yeah, like you do your homework before you have fun. You can't.
And I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
What can I change? You know what I mean? Like, oh, shoot. You're starting off all of your interviews the same way. Oh, you're talking a little bit too close in the mic. Oh, maybe you should switch
the volume. I definitely make that mistake. You get a mic and it literally, I talked right into it and it sounded terrible.
It's so, yeah.
You guys probably heard that episode where I sounded terrible. I mean, it does happen. You make mistakes, you learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so like every time you're researching yourself after after researching them, and you go back and you're like, okay, now I know not to be that close to the mic or not to do that or to make sure I get that name correct. And just like, you're just correcting as you go along.
And I also practice and prepare, obviously, before I leave the house. Mm. If I know I have a carpet, I'm in the mirror. This is me personally. This is Tasha. Like, I'm sure every journalist, reporter, you know, maybe you do this, maybe you don't. I'm in the mirror. I'm reading my questions. I'm trying to make sure I'm such a weirdo. I'm trying to make sure my mouth is not twisting a certain way.
No.
You know, so it's a lot. I'm making sure I got the right concealer under my eyes because, honey, those lights hit different when you out there on camera. I'm making sure that, you know, candidly speaking, like, my undergarments are perfect. You know, you have the right deodorant on if you're wearing a silk dress. Like, it's little things like that.
What are the outfits that work for that job? Because I feel like you have to be comfortable.
It's the outfits that work for that job is when you're comfortable.
Okay.
And what you'll find is typically on the red carpet, everyone wears black.
Do you wear
black?
So
that was a little bit of an uphill battle for me. Okay. Because when I noticed, I'm like, oh my God, I'm the only one that got color on. Like, everybody got black on. I'm like, I'm not a black person.
Yes.
You know, like,
you wear
I
color.
Want to wear color. I have to really feel comfortable. And I stepped out there and I did. I had to be me.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're comfortable in. Because I cannot work if I'm not comfortable.
People, it's just, I think too, like, if you're nervous, if you sweat in black, this is just transparently, if you sweat in black, you're probably not going to see it. But if you're comfy out there, you can play a little bit more with the look, I imagine. But it still be hot.
Girl, it depends on the material that you wearing.
It does.
It's hot. It depends on the weather. Like, it's, you know, hot. I've done red carpets in rain. And I'm like,
a lot of rain this
Lord,
year.
This pixie.
We had so much rain this year. You were out there.
Yeah, I have done Black Lady sketch show that was in the rain.
Wow.
You know, the stars had the umbrellas over them. Like, you standing out there, you're doing those interviews, like, you in those, me, I'm in those high heels for hours.
Not everyone does
feet,
that.
My feet
yeah.
are numb. You know, so yeah, it's a lot that goes into it.
Oh my God, I'm sure you have enlightened everyone who probably glamorizes that. It's not an easy job, it's still work. You know, NPR is not the only valuable journalism. All of it matters. And as you can see, it's like most media companies have so much celebrity culture wrapped up in it. That's how, that's what's running it. That's what's paying the bills. That's what's making money.
Yeah.
And listen, if you were in COVID, we were hunkered down. We were watching something.
Yeah.
You know, so we are a part of it, and it's as important, the entertainment journalism, as all the other branches of journalism.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate your story. And your ethic.
Just 8% of it.
Shush. I appreciate all of it, your whole story, because I was like, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get it recorded. This is journalism in motion right now, actually. From journalist to journalist, I appreciate your time. Any last words? Any sage advice as you continue on your journey? for the folks out there. I know you mentioned keep a clear vision. Don't let that dream go. Work hard.
Write it down every single day.
You're good at journaling.
I literally have 50 million journals.
Me
and
too.
50 billion post-its around my house. I literally write everything down.
Yeah.
And there is not anything that I've written down on a vision board or in a journal that has not come to real life. I literally go back and check it off the list. Everything happens. Everything has happened.
I firmly believe that. I'm even the weird one that I write in things that I want to happen. I write in blue ink versus black ink. I'm very strange.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Erica Badu that said, like, if you want to see something happen, like, you know, she's like, get your pencil out, write it down.
Absolutely.
So I think people who really get this, who aren't, you also can't be cynical about this stuff. If you really don't believe in yoga, don't do yoga. If you really don't believe in journalism, but find what your thing is. Maybe it's not post-its. Maybe it's not, you know, journals. Find your thing that...
Because we all have it.
We all have some way we keep our faith up, mm-hmm. we keep our vision clear, and we keep going because, shoot, this life, they're going to throw some curveballs.
Honey, this life is always going to be life.
It's bumpity bump bump bump. You know what I mean? So...
This is true.
Thank you so much for your time.
Miss
LaTosha Ford, I appreciate the story and the advice, and we were so happy to have you on You Have to Wear Something. You know, only the best real advice on here, and the best guests ever, especially when it comes to black women. That's my favorite. Those are my favorite people to interview. I just love us.
I love us. Yeah, for real.
But thank you so much.
Thank you, Nikki.
And maybe we'll have you on again. I love you too. Okay, y'all. Bye. Till next time.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.